Please notice the announcement about the wood chips. We have wood chips on the way, coming soon this week, and they'll be piled in the parking lot, and we want to get them out of the parking lot into the playground. So next Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, please come and help. We'll be spreading all those in the playground, and look forward to that. Also, I did learn yesterday that Reverend Walter Shealy died. Please keep his family in your thoughts and prayers. I know Walter was an interim pastor here back before I came, so please remember them as well. I don't know any details. Anybody know any more about details, Trish or Kay or anybody? No. Okay. No details yet, but he did die yesterday morning. Shannon, you wanted to talk. There you are.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Shannon. Jonathan, where'd you go? There you are.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we had a great response to the flood bucket drive. We had lots of supplies there, and then I took a lot of the donations and supplemented them, and we got 10 flood buckets that the youth made. So great job for that. And we have a little bit of money left over, actually. I can only fit about 10 flood buckets in my car, and I'm going to take them up to the delivery point. So what I was thinking we could do with the leftover money is donate them directly to the charity, I forgot to write down the name, that does the flood buckets. And if no one has any objections, I'm going to do that. The one thing is, I don't know if we can guarantee they would go to people affected by Florence, that they would go to the same flood bucket program. If someone... if that doesn't sound good to someone, just send me an email and we'll figure things out. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Finally, I do just want to let you know that today, the first Sunday in October, is always Worldwide Communion Sunday. So I tell you that just so that you know that today Christians all over the world of all kinds of different denominations are celebrating our sacrament. And as we celebrate, we will be celebrating with people all over our world. Let's prepare for our worship. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, the one who fashions us, the one who heals us, the one who reforms us again and again.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin, calling for God's transforming power. Source of all life, we confess that we have not allowed your grace to set us free. We fear that we are not good enough. We hear your word of love freely given to us, yet we expect others to earn it. We turn the church inward rather than moving it outward. Forgive us, stir us, reform us to be a church powered by love, willing to speak for what is right, act for what is just, and seek the healing of your whole creation. Amen. God hears our cry and sends the Spirit to change us and to empower our lives in the world. Our sins are forgiven, God's love is unconditional, and we are raised up as God's people who will always be made new. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you. our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, you have created us to live in loving community with one another. Form us for life that is faithful and steadfast, and teach us to trust like little children, that we may reflect the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Be seated, and with the children, please come forward. Good morning. I brought a picture to show you today. See the picture? You know who this is?
this is Maggie. Maggie is my son Michael's dog. And they had an out of town trip to do this weekend, so that they needed somebody to take care of Maggie. So guess where Miss Nan is today? Miss Nan is up in Charlotte taking care of Maggie, because they left on Thursday morning. Now, if Miss Nan hadn't gone up there to take care of Maggie, who was going to feed Maggie? Could Maggie go and open up a can of dog food by herself? No. Could Maggie go get dog food out of a bag of dog food for herself? Well, maybe. If it was where she could reach it. Could Maggie let herself out when she needed to go to the bathroom? No. She has not gotten the hang of door handles yet. No. She can't do that. So Maggie needed someone to take care of her, and Miss Nan went up to do that this weekend. And I thought about showing you this picture of Maggie. She's a cute dog, isn't she? Yep. And I thought about showing this to you because in our gospel lesson today, there's this great part of it that talks about the children wanted to come to see Jesus and the disciples tried to keep them away. Do you know why the disciples tried to keep them away? Because in that day, children didn't count. They weren't even thought of as people yet. So, I mean, can you imagine? Yeah. And so Jesus, the disciples said, Jesus doesn't want to be bothered with these little children. Jesus wouldn't want to be bothered by that at all. And Jesus says, no. I came for the very ones that need the most care, that need to be taken care of and loved and watched out for, like children, or like poor people, or like people who are suffering, or people who are sick. That's what Jesus is saying, is that he came and we're supposed to reach out and care for all those who can't care for themselves. So that's what I wanted you to remember today, to think about Maggie, that's her name, and to think about how Maggie needed somebody to take care of them, and God sends us to care for people who need us to reach out to them in love. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us. Help us to take your love out into the world. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
First lesson is a reading from Genesis. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle, and to the birds of the air, and to every animal in the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
second lesson is a reading from Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he had inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject this coming world about which we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, we might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. I remember it vividly. It was that kind of event, I guess. Even though I wasn't even yet 9 years old, I remember watching our old black and white TV as Neil Armstrong took that first step on the moon. It was amazing, stunning, awe-inspiring. But amid all the excitement and wonder, there was something else, perhaps even more grand. You probably didn't realize it, but after all that walking around on the moon, Armstrong and Aldrin blasted off to reunite with Michael Collins in the Apollo 11 capsule in order to come home. But when they blasted off, they did it in a small capsule. The base of the lunar lander was left behind on the surface of the moon. Since this part was planned to be left on the moon, and since there was an outside chance that someday an alien civilization might one day find it and discover this remnant of human society, that part of the lander carried messages of greeting from 73 different nations on the face of the earth. One of those that sent a message recorded on that lunar lander that still sits on the surface of the moon was the Vatican. And their message was the text of Psalm 8. The psalm points to the cosmic sovereignty of God and defines human status and vocation in relationship to God. This is who God is, it says. This is who we are, it says. If you turn to page 8 of your bulletin, you'll find the text of the psalm. I'd like for us to read it together, but there are some things you need to know before we do that. Verse 1 of the psalm is found up in the music. Then we will ignore all the times that it says to go to the refrain, except this psalm is kind of unusual. There's also a verse 9, which is a repeat of verse 1. So at the very end, when you get through and it says refrain, that time we will go back up, okay? That's verse 1 and 9. So we do it at the beginning and at the end. Okay, everybody got that? All right, let's read it together. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You whose glory is chanted above the heavens, out of the mouths of infants and children. You have set up a fortress against your enemies to silence the foe and avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses, what are mere mortals that you should be mindful of them, human beings that you should care for them? Yet you have made them a little less than divine. With glory and honor you crown them. You have made them rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all flocks and cattle, even the wild beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, it is your name in all the earth. Psalm 8 begins by praising God and extolling God's majesty, so much so that even infants sing out God's praise. Even the poor and lowliest of us proclaim God's greatness. And then the very heart of the psalm marvels that the God of all the cosmos, the creator and controller of everything, cares about us. What are mere mortals that you should be mindful of them, the psalm asks. There's a great story about Theodore Roosevelt. At his home on Sagamore Hill, Theodore Roosevelt and a friend used to play a little game together. After an evening of talk, they would go out on the lawn and search the skies until they found the faint spot of light missed beyond the lower left-hand corner of the constellation Pegasus. Then one or the other would recite, "That is the spiral galaxy of Andromeda. It is as large as our Milky Way. It is one of 100 million galaxies, and it consists of 1 billion suns, each larger than our sun." Then Roosevelt would grin and say, "Okay, now I think we're small enough. Let's go to bed." But that's just the point. Sometimes we get rather large in our own eyes. We exaggerate our own importance. But this psalm reminds us of our place. This psalm reminds us that God is the God of all creation, that all the cosmos belongs to God and is controlled by God. That's who God is. That's who we're not. But even more striking, the psalm then goes on to point out how God has shared dominion of the earth with us. We are supposed to care for creation the same way God cares for us. That's who we are, and that's who we're supposed to be. In March of 2014, a New York Times article reported on what, at the time, was probably the most expensive musical instrument in the world, a Stradivari viola whose asking price started at $45 million. "It's a staggering sum for a fiddle," the article stated. Violas are sometimes thought of as the unloved stepsisters of violins. Rarely in the spotlight, played by fewer famous virtuosos, with less music composed specifically for them. So what makes this instrument so valuable? Auction experts say its value is based on a variety of factors, but they point first and foremost to its maker, Antonio Stradivari. What makes this viola so valuable is who made it. What makes you valuable is who made you. What makes you valuable is who loves you. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen.
Thank you.
Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Glorious God, your majesty exceeds all we can imagine. With all our hearts, we sing your praise and give you honor. Now inspire our faith and transform our lives that we might live out our worship every day. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for our world, O Lord of light. Unite us in your love and in this meal we share. Fill us with you. Shine into our darkness and lead us in your way. Change us that we might shine your love into our world. Lord, in your mercy. God of generous blessing, we pray now for generosity and courage as we boldly go to serve you. Call us with new energy and commitment to your work in our world. Call us to come to your house often to worship you and to hear your word for our lives. Call us to offer our talents and our time in your service. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may be bold in our faith and courageous in our mission. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O God of comfort and compassion, be with our brothers and sisters who are in need. Heal the sick, console those who mourn, change the lives of the poor, the oppressed, the outcast, and the alone. Be with all your people, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace.
pray. God of life,
you give us these gifts of the earth, these resources of our life and our labor. Take them, offering great thanksgiving, and use them to set a table that will heal the whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy are you, God. God, you created a world in which all might be satisfied by your abundance. You dined with Abraham and Sarah, promising them life, and fed your people Israel with manna from heaven. You sent your Son to eat with sinners and to become food for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life given for us and his rising from the grave, we await his coming again to share with us the everlasting feast. By your Spirit, nurture and sustain us with this meal. Strengthen us to serve all in hunger and want. And by this bread and cup, make of us the body of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Mercy on us, Lord. Mercy on us, Lord.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Holy and compassionate God, in bread and wine, you give us gifts that form us to be humble and courageous. May your words come to life in our serving and in our witness, that we might speak a living voice of healing and justice to all the world through Jesus Christ, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Thank you.
just the two of us yesterday.
Okay. Well, I'm getting ready to head out of town, so I brought my chair just to make sure if there was anything you need, I can get it done today. Okay. You got everything you need, Martha? Perfect. I'm leaving town, so I was just kind of checking to make sure you got everything you need for the month.
As far as I know. It looked like we had everything down yesterday, don't you think?
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah. Well, you just couldn't reach the wine on the top shelf. A bit too short.
I still can't get rid of these half pieces. We got a bag full of half pieces. Yeah. I put these half pieces.
Is it open off?
No, I'm going.
Okay. I'll have Carrie back. We've got worship and music committee in Melton.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so do you.
Okay, one of each.
try to do it slow. Sometimes if you do it too fast, that soot gets.